Good morning. It's time for the Clay County Corner, coming to you live from the historic Clay County Courthouse in Salina, Tennessee. For the next hour, the Clay County Corner will inform you of what's happening in our community. Sit back and enjoy the program.
Welcome to the Clay County Corner, where we hope to inform you of local happenings, events, and general information about Clay County. This is Susan Bailey broadcasting live in a corner room of the historical Clay County Courthouse on the square in Salina. This radio broadcast is sponsored in part and hosted by the 3-Star Volunteer Program of Clay County by the Clay County Chamber of Commerce. We are live every morning on Thursdays from 9 o'clock until 10 o'clock in the morning on Kicks Country 101.5 FM. This show will be replayed this evening at 6 o'clock p.m. on Kicks Country 101.5 FM. This will give you an opportunity to tell family and friends in surrounding counties and states to listen in to the later evening broadcast. And those that are out of state can also listen in through the Delhalla Horizon website at www.delhallahorizon.com. They just click on the link on the Delhalla Horizon webpage to catch this week's show and even review previously recorded Clay County Corner broadcasts from Kicks Country 101.5 FM. We want to thank Delhalla Horizon for collaborating with the Clay County Corner and Kicks Country to provide this service to our neighbors near and far. We have a good show for you during the next hour, so grab that extra cup of coffee and then sit back and get ready to hear about local Clay County happenings and beyond. Ray Norris, our Clay County Chamber Director, had the opportunity to sit down with Senator Diane Black in a recent interview, so we'll be having that shortly.
Hi, Ray. This is Diane Black. How are you today?
Real good, Diane. How are you today?
I am good, thank you, on this rainy Friday.
Oh, this is terrible here as well. We've got about 3 inches of cold rain, but fortunately it's not freezing, so we've got to be thankful for that.
Well, that's a good thing, especially where you all are. We don't need any freezing rain over there on those hills.
That is for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, regarding... The one thing that seems to be in everyday's news is the fiasco called Obamacare and progress or sometimes lack thereof. I know both the House and the Senate have spent a lot of energy there. What can you tell us?
Well, this bill was not ready for prime time. I have been saying this for months and months and months, and it's not because I am partisan. The bill is not a good bill to begin with. It's taking over 1/6 of our economy by the federal government. I don't believe that the government should be involved in the personal parts of our life like health care. So we have a better way of doing this. It's more patient-centered, giving people the opportunity to choose what they want, not what the government wants for them, and market-based, which brings the cost down. So reform in the insurance industry and on the way people could get in, into the system needed to be done, but not by co-opting 1/6 of our economy and telling people what to do. So setting that aside, that I think the whole bill is a flawed way of fixing a problem that was about 15 million people out of 350 million people in the country. We are doing everything we can to mitigate the harmful effects of this, and we just see them every day, Ray. Every day there's something new, something different that we have got to try to deal with to make sure that people's lives are not so negatively impacted, which we are absolutely seeing across the line, whether it's insurance being dropped, insurance premiums going up, people losing their jobs, not being sure even when you're on the line, if you can get on the exchange, that it is taking your information, insurers are not getting the information in a timely way. It is a mitigated disaster.
I agree, and it appears that folks on both sides of the aisle are starting to come into agreement regarding the summary you just gave us.
Well, I know that I have been saying this for a long time, is that people won't wake up to what this bill really is until it starts to directly impact their lives. and we're now seeing that. So it's not just my office getting these calls. It's colleagues on the other side of the aisle who have people in their district who are being affected by these harmful effects. And so they're hearing from them. And if you're a good representative, you hear from the people, you recognize that even what you may have voted for was not ready for prime time or may not have been the best solution for the problem.
That is true. One thing that was very disturbing that we learned relatively early on is there was no security built into the original system.
That's so right. Yes, you're so right. And I have been shouting this from the top of my lungs for the last 10 months because I do read the Government Accountability Office's reports. And what they are, they're sort of the oversight of a nonpartisan of the federal government, of the Congress, and also the administration on the kinds of things that are done that are going to affect the public. So the Government Accountability Office has been putting out reports for months that this system was not ready, that the security had not been tested from end to end, and we're now seeing the results of that. If it weren't so sad, it would be laughable that yesterday in one of the hearings that we had where we brought in folks who are experts in the field of both medicine and also IT, that the one that's an expert in the IT area it just said this is ripe for hacking because they did not do what they were supposed to do, which is the end-to-end testing to ensure that people's information was secure. And Ray, you have to laugh about it a little because it's so ironic that even on the site, one of the disclosures in about a 4-point font said, and I paraphrase, there is no reasonable expectation of security of your personal information if you fill out this form. So they admitted it up front that did not have the security. It was on the website. They have since taken it down since we've been beating the drum and talking about it. But there was an actual disclosure on there that you could not be assured that your material that you put on there, your Social Security number, your bank information, your health care information, all non-secure.
So they knew up front that it was not secured.
Oh, they've known this. I think the first report that I read was back in March of last year that they had not reached all of the marks that were set out by their own contractors on where they needed to be in developing this website.
Yep.
And we saw this all the way up until September, the latter part of September, and that this was not ready to go. And yet they put it online on October the 1st, knowing full well that this was not ready in a lot of different ways, either for ease of use or also security. And shame on them that we're going to have people's personal information hacked.
Oh, Lord Almighty. I heard on a news report, I believe it was Monday or Tuesday, that IBM had offered to provide security when they were building it free of charge, but they were turned down on that.
Yes, this is true, and we could have saved a whole lot of taxpayer money. The hardworking taxpayers' money went into this. $600 million and counting will probably be up to $1 billion. And then you have IBM that said they were willing to help build this and make sure that it was secure for free. And it's just amazing to me that instead of doing that, this administration wanted to be sure that they only had those that they could have the most control over so that none of this information would happen to get out to the public about, for instance, how far behind they were or the lack of security that was there. So they wanted to hold all of this in-house, which was another reason why this was such a disaster, is they didn't have the right talent within their own administration to be able to build and secure a website.
That is true, and that's a sad story that every taxpayer is now paying for.
Absolutely. And I think the taxpayers need to demand some of their money back. This administration has stolen money to do something that is not workable, and we're still paying for it.
Wow.
And this is real people's lives. This is not a political thing. This is doing harmful effects to people's lives, both on the healthcare side, where their insurance is being upended, and both on, and also on the security side, where there's a potential for ID threat.
Yeah, every day on the national news, I see where someone has already been canceled, and they're in the midst of a very serious medical issue or surgery or cancer, et cetera, and they just don't know where to go from there.
Tens of millions of people have lost their insurance, and this is not just one individual, but these are families. So tens of millions of people are without insurance today because of this administration uprooting the insurance program. And yet they've only signed up maybe a half a million people. So when they talk about this is for the good of the whole, who's the good of the whole? Can you tell that to somebody who has lost their insurance that they were happy with and they didn't want to have changed regardless of, you know, the president kept on saying, if you like it, you can keep it. Well, we now know that that was an untruthful statement. And I'll leave that up to the listeners on how they want to talk about that. But that was untruthful
right. And
misleading.
Right.
And now, can you really say it was for the good of the whole when someone's having the harmful effect that they are by what has been done?
Well, not only that, but looking at the other end of the spectrum, it's my understanding from, here again, from news reports that the premiums are weighted heavily on the new kids that are entering the workforce, and their premiums are out of sight. And that's probably when they can least afford to pay high premiums.
Yes, and that's when they're going to be least anxious to get it, because if you're paying half of your salary in an insurance premium that you don't think that you need or want or going to use, then they're not going to sign up, which throws their whole scheme off, because unless you have those young, healthy insurers or ease in there, then their whole scheme does not work. That's what they're talking about with now. Look, Ray, there are people out there that did not have insurance, that could not get insurance. And I'm a nurse and a compassionate person. I've been in healthcare for a long time, and I've seen it and know about it personally. We could have taken care of that. That's about 15 million people that across this country, for various reasons, did not have insurance or could not get insurance.
Right.
We could have taken care of that. There are ways to take care of that. But to have upended everything else and upset all these other hundreds of millions of people that are eventually going to be affected by this really was just the wrong way to go at it.
I totally agree. And, you know, there is going to be a long-lasting effect regardless of how the Obamacare situation works out. They have taken over the entire market, and for it to revert back to its original status is probably next to impossible at this point.
Well, remember the president delayed the employer mandate. The employer mandate was really one of the essential planks. So the two highest planks of this bill were you could get on the federal exchange if you did not have insurance with your employer. Well, because he delayed that because the website was not ready to even be able to verify that you had employment with your insurer. So that wasn't ready. The second plank that he also has delayed and is not up and running the way it should be is if you have an income level and you can verify your income level to be eligible for these subsidies, that you could then sign up for the federal exchange. And neither one of these two are working. They're the most essential plans. So we're going to see a lot of fraud. We're going to see people who already have insurance that find that this will be an easy way for the government to just pay for it all. They don't have to pay for anything. And what does this do? This just crumbles, again, the private insurance industry and leads us toward what I think they really wanted to begin with, was a single-payer system. And it's not just what I think. It is what Harry Reid has said. It is what has come off of the lips of several of those from the administration, where now they're admitting that they never intended, if you like it, you can keep it. They always intended that this would be something that would be a federal program.
Well, I would say before this is all played out, they will probably regret those words.
Well, I can't see into the future, but I can say that right now there are a lot of harmful effects for people that I represent, and we're doing everything we can to try to protect them and overcome that.
Right, right. Different note, I read recently where you were appointed by the House leadership to one of four House Republicans on a budget conference committee. Can you tell us what's going on there?
Sure. Well, you know that we have not passed the budget in forever because that is one of our constitutional responsibilities. So it just puzzles me how we can not pass a budget. But since I've been there, this is the first year in three that we have had an opportunity where the Senate has actually passed the budget. So we call this regular order. The House passes their budget, the Senate passes their form, and then we get together in what they call a conference, which is why I'm called a conferee, and we negotiate and try to get those two to marry up so that they're the same so the president can sign them into law. And the important thing about that is that then once we get a number and we send it to the appropriators, they start appropriating that money to say how much money is going to go to each one of those areas. For instance, how much money goes to building roads or education. And they put the money on the line. So they actually do the line by line. And that's very important because continuing resolutions just continue you on the same line that you had before. So, for instance, if our department needed a new computer system last year, I'm still on that line again on a continuing resolution. I can't move it off of that line, but they don't need it there any longer. So it doesn't really make sense. Continuing resolutions are not the way to govern. So we're very hopeful that we're going to get at least some deal out of this. It won't be a grand bargain, but we're trying to keep spending down, keep the deficit down, so that we can give people an opportunity to keep money in their pocket and grow the economy.
Very good.
And we're hopeful that we're going to get a number out of this and an agreement on where the big chunks of money should go to.
Do you have any idea how long this exercise could take?
Sure. We are, by the rule of the formation of our committee, we are to report back to them by December the 13th, which is next Friday.
Oh, wow. Okay. Neat. Well, that, we will anxiously be waiting to hear that on the news. I wish you the best of luck in accomplishing that task.
Well, it's not easy when there are two distinctly different budgets. And their budget actually raises taxes, and they want to spend $90 billion more than what currently we're spending. So it's a real chore to try to negotiate when two sides are so different ideologically. But that's what our goal is to do, and we've been assigned that, and I'm working diligently.
Very good. Well, we appreciate you very much, Diane. Listen, I know you've got a busy day ahead of you, and I want to thank you for appearing on Clay County Corner, and I hope to talk to you in about 4 weeks.
Well, thank you, Ray, and I'm always very, very happy to be with all of you. May all of you and all your listeners have a very Merry Christmas, and God bless.
Thank you. Same to you.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
This is Susan, back with the Clay County Corner. After that interview with Senator Black and Chamber Director Ray Norris, we want to thank Senator Black for taking. I know she's extremely busy, and we want to certainly thank her for taking time out and pre-recording that video, that audio for us, and giving us an update here at Kix Country 101.5 FM. And now we're going to take a brief break.
As we grow older, aging can present emotional and behavioral problems that often go undetected or ignored. But this is not a part of the normal aging process. Senior Care Unit, located at Cumberland River Hospital in Salina, Tennessee, is devoted to helping older adults and their families deal with these changes. The Senior Care Unit provides a comprehensive approach with a highly skilled staff to pave the way for coping with these difficulties. Referrals to Senior Care can come from anyone at any time. Don't suffer alone. Senior Care is there to help your family when you need them most. For more information or to make a referral, please call 1-800-777-8553 or 931-243-5265. Auto, property, farm, business, life, term, do you have enough coverage? Are you overinsured? Are you paying too much? How do you know what insurance provides the right coverage for you? Well, you can find out by contacting Hugh Davenport at Clay County Farm Bureau in Salina, Tennessee. Hugh Davenport has been helping his friends and neighbors get the insurance they need for 36 years, and he can help you too. He'll make sure you have understanding of your needs and get you the coverage that's just right for you. Make sure you're not underinsured or overinsured. Contact Hugh Davenport at Clay County Farm Bureau at 808 East Lake in Salina, Tennessee. Open Monday through Thursday, 8:30 until 4:30, and Fridays until 5. You can call him at 931-243-3181. That's 931-243-3181. for Hugh Davenport at Clay County Farm Bureau in Salina, Tennessee.
This is Susan Bailey back at the Clay County Corner. I would like to mention the winner of the Christmas poster contest. I did mention it last week, but just to remind everybody, winning the grand prize of getting to ride on the fire engine at the 2013 Christmas parade with Santa. That's going to be this Friday on December the 14th at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Poster contest, Saturday, are Cherokee Upton, Emma Trent, and Lainey Roach. Congratulations, Cherokee, Emma, and Lainey. And don't forget, it's basketball season. Junior high games are underway at Herman Springs and Salina K-8, as well as the Clay County High School Bulldogs, who are going to be playing for a win this upcoming Tuesday night against Macon County on the 17th. There aren't any games this Friday night, and game time starts at 6 o'clock p.m. And I'd like to mention our local banks are in the spirit of giving this Christmas. The Bank of Salina Cash Giveaway, you can win cash daily up until Christmas Eve at the Bank of Salina. There are 10 branch locations, one entry daily. Sunday drawings will be on Facebook, and $50 gradually escalating to $1,000 will be given away, with each branch giving an Xbox 360 gaming system on December the 21st. And Macon Bank and Trust will do $250 cash prizes at each location each week through December the 21st. You can enter as often as you like. Winners are limited to one prize per week. On December the 24th at the main Lafayette office, there will be four $500 cash drawings, and all of the office entries will be in this drawing. With me now, I have Daniel Stewart with the Clay County Sheriff's Department and Sheriff Boone. They are here to talk about Christmas for Kids and a couple other things that are actually, I think, going on at the Salina K-8. And I understand, rumor had it, that Sheriff Boone was pretty well hidden, covered up in a sea of toys recently. Guys, if you can just explain a little about that.
Yes, Susan, thank you for inviting us here. This year, when our school resource officers started the school year, we had a few meetings, and we discussed about some things that we wanted to try to do, and one of them was to try to help the kids that don't see a good Christmas, or some families that are struggling out there that could use some help from some people. So we started what we call it Christmas for Kids. We didn't advertise it a whole lot this year. This is the first year we've started it, and we just wanted to see how it started off and is going. So we've been taking donations from people, toys, money, and Daniel has sort of took the lead on this as far as organizing it and making sure that it all gets done. And so I can let him explain a little bit more in detail about what we're doing. And it's a good thing.
It is. It certainly is a good thing in these poor economic times. I know there are a lot of kids that aren't going to be able to have a happy Christmas unless somebody steps in and helps, too. Does this have anything to do with the mitten tree, too? Or is there a place, or where can we actually bring toys, or what can we do?
Yes, here in Salina, we're actually pulling off the mitten tree.
Okay.
Those names were generated from the school.
Mm-hmm.
Over at Hermery Springs, there's 32 children there or 32 families that we're going to help out this year over there. And the Palace Rehabilitation, they have really stepped forward, and they're helping us over on that end of the county. The community has really stepped up for this. Like Sheriff said, we kind of got a late start, but it has really come together so well. We're really pleased with how things are going so far.
Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes it doesn't matter how late you get started, the goal or the purpose is what generates the interest. And, of course, everybody wants to make sure kids have a happy Christmas.
It is. It's unfortunate. Sometimes you don't get to hear about some of the kids that we need to. We definitely want to thank the people who's donated and give toys to us for some of these children, because if it wasn't for them, we couldn't make this a success.
Right. I know it's important to get to get everything in time to be able to get it out? Is there a deadline? When do we need to try? If I wanted to bring a sack full of things, just go shopping myself and bring them, where do I need to bring them, or what's the deadline date?
Our deadline is going to be December the 18th. That's going to be on a Wednesday.
Okay.
December the 20th is an abbreviated day at the schools.
Oh, at the school. Mm-hmm.
So after school is let out for that day,
mm-hmm.
Then we're going to start handing out the toys.
Oh, okay. Wonderful. And these are predetermined. The families have already either put in a request or we do know in advance. And
yes.
And those families will probably be notified.
And we're still taking.
If
there's some people out there today that need to be on the list or know if somebody needs to be on this list, we're still taking names. So
okay.
We'll take them all the way up to the 18th. So
do they need to maybe call the sheriff's department to give their names, or if you know of a family that's in need?
Yes, they can call the sheriff's office, or they can call either Hermes Springs School or Swanee K-8 and ask to speak to the school resource officers, Katie Kerr or Daniel Stewart.
Okay, so you've got some liaisons there kind of taking care of heading up the program. I was actually out at the school yesterday, and I heard somebody saying something about Souls for Souls. I know that's a project that actually occurred last year, I believe, at the high school. What's going on with that this year?
The Fellowship of Christian Athletes is doing a soul-to-soul Christmas shoe drive this year.
Okay.
I've got a little flyer here. December, they're taking shoes, new and gently worn tennis shoes, between the dates of December 10th and the 17th. It says here shoes of all sizes are requested. And for more information, call Miss Kim Maxfield. And she's got her number here. It's 243-2391. This morning when I left the school, there was already a lot of shoes in the box. So
wow.
They're having a good response to that also.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, please to make note of the shoes that you do bring. Don't let them be worn out or anything. It's important that they're in good shape and not torn or missing laces or anything like that, because it's a special project, and this is for kids to be able to have some good shoes through the winter, especially while it's going to be cold. So bring in some things that are in good shape. That would be much appreciated. And again, those can be brought to the Salina K-8.
Yes, that's the Fellowship of Christian Athletes program. Mm-hmm. That is through the school.
Okay. Well, guys, is there anything else that we need to mention? Have we covered everything that we needed to give information out on the Christmas for Kids and the Souls for Souls, or Souls to Souls?
I will go ahead and say that we are still, we're still taking donations.
Okay. And that's, if somebody doesn't have the time, they can give a cash donation.
Yes.
Or if you have the time to go shopping and you enjoy that and want to like shopping for kids, you know, there's some people out there that don't have children and just love to do that. That's kind of an excuse. I know I'm always hearing, well, I'd like to go see that movie, but I don't have a kid, you know, and they're borrowing kids. So
I would ask it if someone does drop off a package wrapped, to please identify whether it's for a boy or girl in
yeah.
the age group
yeah.
Of who's four, so.
Yeah, that's very important, too, because it's not an easy task to unwrap those. And it would be nice, I'm sure, too, to bring those wrapped.
Yes.
As long as they are identified.
We will wrap them,
uh-huh.
But if the people wants to bring them wrapped, that's fine. Just please identify whether it's boy or girl in the age group.
Okay.
And,
I guess you could probably use some wrapping paper and ribbons, too, in that.
We've not got a whole lot of that, but we could. That's a minor.
Yeah. Most
minor
of the toys
problem.
Are most important. All right. Well, thank you, Officer Stewart and Sheriff Boone, for coming in and talking with us this morning. I hope it gets a good response. Everybody needs to you know, be generous and try to help out as much as you can with the kids. Thank you all so much for coming in and sharing this information with us.
Thank you.
And we'll go for a sponsor break.
Hello, this is Paula Boone with Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center. we are excited to announce two new services available to our community. We are now offering adult daycare and outpatient therapies. Our adult daycare program is designed to provide improvements in the health of adults who may just need a safe place to be during the day. Nutritious meals, snacks, activities, and a full-service beauty shop are just a few of the services available. Outpatient physical, occupational, and speech therapies are now offered to our community as well. Most major insurance plans are accepted. For more information, give us a call today at 931-243-3139. We will be glad to assist you. Again, that is 931-243-3139, Solana Health and Rehabilitation Center in Solana, Tennessee.
Good afternoon, this is Elaine Closure. We're trying to help everyone get through this vast home improvement warehouse. We're currently in the plumbing department, but there seems to be a cart with a pallet of 2x4s turned sideways in the aisle. No one can get through. And don't even try the paint counter. They're going to be bottlenecked there for the next hour at least. You may want to avoid that area and try an alternate route. Are you tired of the long lines at the big box home improvement centers? Come visit the folks at Salina Lumber for all your home improvement needs right here at home. Remember the personal attention you used to get at the old corner store? Well, that same experience still exists at Salina Lumber Company, your local PPG Porter Paints dealer, where you'll find the perfect paint, expertise, product knowledge, and personal service to help you complete any paint job inside and out. Every job deserves PPG Porter Paints, a trusted brand for 90 years. Catch the PPG Porter Paints experience at Salina Lumber Company, where we're so much more than lumber.
Welcome back to the Clay County Corner. This is Susan Bailey on 101.5 FM Kicks Country. I have with me now Miss Christy Keene, and she's going to be talking about the Salina Christmas Parade and any other activities that are going on with the parade. Christy, welcome to the Clay County Corner this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Glad you're here. Christy volunteer, who's finding time in her busy schedule. She's just finished school and started a brand new job, so she's got a lot on her plate, making some adjustments right now, but she's also signed on to coordinate the annual Christmas parade with us. She stepped up last year and pulled a really, really good parade together, and we had beautiful weather last year, and we're anticipating the possibility of not having such good weather this year. So I'm going to let Christy talk a little about that. We've made some contentions.
Well, my last look at the weather forecast, it had increased from 60% to 80% precipitation. I've had several inquiries about that, and at this point, we're not going to do anything. If we get up Saturday morning and it's coming a monsoon, then it's going to be reconsidered at that point because the forecast is in Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
It may not even get to us. We're going to say that it's not.
Right.
But some fluke, it does. I've been informed that the mayor has advised that we can reschedule the parade for the following week, which will be the 21st,
mm-hmm.
and it'll be the same time, and hopefully we'll be able to do a 911
Reverse 911,
so that we can inform everyone of that.
Yeah, everybody would be able to know then. And let's see, there won't. I guess we'll have a radio show next week. I think we will be on the radio next week too, so we could also make mention of that again.
Sure.
But just for those that are concerned, especially, we wanted to have some kind of a contingency plan. And that's it. Hopefully the weather will go around us,
hopefully.
Above, around, however, below
cool
or something.
Today, but it would be a great day for a parade.
right. So be prepared that we, you know, in the event, we will have it again. I know that the Nashville parade was canceled completely, so we're not hoping to do that.
No.
We want to still have it. So that's covering the time, hopefully, this Saturday at 2 o'clock. Do you know what the parade route is going to be?
Well, we're going to stick with the plan of years past, with lineup being in front of the Save-A-Lot Dollar General area.
Mm-hmm.
The rescue squad has volunteered to help with that process again this year.
Good deal.
And everyone just show up there around 12:30. I'm going to put calls out to those applicants this evening to give a little more definition of what the expectations of them are going to be.
Okay.
And then to the square.
Okay. You know, I know that people, and myself included, sometimes I'm guilty of being a procrastinator, but
yes.
It's important to go ahead and stop by and fill out an application.
Yes.
If you want to be in the parade. If you can't do that, you can still call the chamber.
Absolutely.
And at least get your name in, and maybe they could fill out the application, at least what's important to know,
right.
What category you want to be
very
in.
Very simple this year. It's
yeah.
Just a name, phone number, just so I can contact
mm-hmm.
whomever and kind of give them an idea of what needs to be done the day of the parade.
Yeah, and that's important, too, to know the categories and the lineup. And there's a lot more work than people actually realize that goes into
right.
putting it together. So
a little bit.
Yeah, it's good to know what you have in each category, how many people, and
sure, so that everyone who puts forth the effort
mm-hmm.
has the opportunity to be judged.
Exactly.
You know,
you can't just drop in last minute, so and be able to be in the judging
right.
part of the parade.
Correct.
So, all right. Well, we can pick up applications at the chamber. Is there a deadline right now for the application?
I haven't given a specific deadline.
Okay.
You know, last minute entries will be welcome. This is for our
yeah.
community, and we want everybody who
Absolutely.
Wants to be in it to be in it. The application and that process is simply to help me help the entries so that they
right.
can be
okay.
served best. So.
All righty. Well, remind us about this year's parade theme. It's very interesting, and especially for those folks that might want to make a real float and compete.
Correct. It's a real fine Christmas,
mm-hmm.
and that's R-E-E-L
mm-hmm.
for a movie reel.
Mm-hmm.
It's a movie-themed, Christmas movie-themed parade, and I've had a few ideas tossed at me from applicants, and I'm really excited to see what people
oh, yeah.
come up with.
Uh-huh.
So if everyone, you know, falls into the idea of what the theme is.
Yeah. Well, it's such a broad range, and there's so many
who doesn't have a
things
favorite
to pick
Christmas
from.
Movie.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you can really run with it,
right,
too.
Right.
It's such a fun theme to work with. And we were talking about the competition categories. What all is there going to be? I know we always have horses and cars and floats, hopefully floats, and,
yes.
and all that.
As with the route of the parade, it's also going to be the same as years past with
mm-hmm.
the addition of tractors
mm-hmm.
and trucks, antique
okay.
tractors and trucks, because
okay.
there were several of those last year, and we weren't able to give them justice because
oh.
we didn't have a category for them. We have float, best business, best decorated, when I'm saying best, at home along the parade.
Along the route,
yeah,
okay.
And then we've got...
Are the horses?
Horses.
You gonna have horses?
Horses.
Okay.
ATVs. Fire trucks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's
all
the
right.
Same
so
as
just pretty time. Much whatever is in the parade is gonna be judged.
Yes.
Because you took from last year's and
kind of
broaden that out a little bit more. So it's not too late to enter. That's very important. And I know all the kids that are out there want to know about Santa Claus. And I know you mentioned, so he's still on board to come. He's
Santa
not.
Santa Claus
all
will
right.
be here. He will be on the fire truck. And, of course, the poster contest winners will be with him throughout
mm-hmm.
the parade. And
Wonderful.
After the parade, we expect that he will make an appearance on the square at the courthouse. Greet all the little people who are interested, and big people.
Wonderful.
Who want to see and have an opportunity for a photo.
Yeah, well, that's great. And it's so much fun at the end of the parade to watch him up on the court, because he climbs down off that big old fire truck, and he gets in a chair and starts taking those pictures,
he
and
does.
It's so much
that,
fun watching
so
those kids line
for
up.
Me.
It sure is. It's the last year we had. Of course, we've got the Christmas tree out front right now, and people are welcome. We're asking actually everybody to come and put handmade ornaments or just any kind of special ornament that they would like to put on the tree. And I am noticing that the tree's filling up. From the bottom, And we need some more tall people to come into town. We need some tall people to come in with some handmade ornaments and hang those up high, because it's looking kind of heavy down low. But it is, it's very unique, and we've got some really cool and interesting ornaments. Yeah, people need to come in and look at those, but you'll certainly have an opportunity to come in afterwards and look at the ornaments this Saturday. What about music, or is there anything else special that's going to be going on after the parade?
Well, of course, we've had local vendors to donate hot chocolate mm-hmm. and cookies and things of that nature that will be served after the parade. The Relay for Life, I've worked with Diane Ledbetter, and she is planning, their group is planning to do the Love Life a Tree, as they did last year.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the awards will be given away
right.
after the parade. And then we've got Santa, and the Clay County Choirs will be singing and providing a little entertainment for us.
Okay, that sounds wonderful. Yeah. It sounds like a good, fun-filled day. And the Christmas play, the Santa Trial, is starting that night also. The parade's at 2 o'clock, and you can mingle and mix around, and then those that want to or have tickets can come to the play that evening at 7 o'clock. That's right. I'm in it, and
we're
I can't
so
even
excited.
Remember when it is. All right. Well, Christy, is there anything else? Have we pretty well covered the parade?
I don't think so. If anyone has any questions, they can call the chamber, mm-hmm. or my number has been published, and you're free to call me, and I'll help any way I can.
Okay. And once again, the parade is scheduled for this Saturday at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and weather permitting, and plan to be there right now, but if it's terrible and raining cats and dogs, then we do have a contingency plan for the following Saturday, and you will be notified by reverse 911
correct
at that time. All right, well, thank you so much, Christy, for coming in and talking with us this morning, and we'll take a short sponsor break.
Thank you.
Husqvarna is the world's largest producer of outdoor power products. Husqvarna offers a full line of lawn and garden equipment for the homeowner and the professional. Chainsaws, blowers, trimmers, mowers, tillers, and zero turns. Husqvarna has everything you need and is here to help you with all of your outdoor power equipment needs. Stop by Clay County Farm Supply at 408 Brown Street in Salina, or give them a call at 931-243-4169 to see how Husqvarna can help you. Husqvarna, taming the wild.
Clay County Farm Supply in Salina, Tennessee is now your certified dealer for Gator-Made trailers. Gator-Made is your best source to buy trailers factory direct. Gator-Made trailers offer a wide variety and style of trailers, such as utility, gooseneck, equipment, and pintle hitch trailers, enclosed cargo trailers, flatbed, platform, cargo, and dump trailers. And financing is available for Gator-Made trailers and Husqvarna products at Clay County Farm Supply in Salina, Tennessee. Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Welcome back to Kicks Country 101.5 FM. I've got Thomas Watson sitting here with me now, and he's got a lot of things going on. We want to learn about some of the extra activities that are coming up in December, and it actually... they've already got it started. They've got
yes.
the Christmas tree out on the front.
Yes, we started last weekend.
Mm-hmm.
We had our mistletoe market here in the old county offices here in the courthouse, mm-hmm. and very successful again. I think
absolutely.
You were present with us.
I was there.
We had a limited number of folks here, quite a few craft items, and people came in to spend money, I think, a
that's
lot of
right. I spent a lot.
we didn't have many browsers. We had spenders, and
yeah.
we were very successful again. I know I keep looking each year. We talk about, you know, how we're going to do the mistletoe
mm-hmm.
market, and we'd like to lean toward Christmas crafts and handmade
right.
crafts,
right.
which is what we're trying to get toward, and we'd like to get about, you know, maybe 12 or 14 vendors is
right.
the maximum here in the courtroom, and make it a true craft fair.
Absolutely.
And I've been working with Barbara Boone and
mm-hmm.
and Jack Smith, I believe, from down in Macon County, and they travel the circuit
okay.
in the summer.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, we try to schedule around the circuit, and they actually do summer, fall, Christmas, the whole bit, and try to turn it into more of a craft thing with a few things like your sales of, you know, where we're not, I think you had some
hand-painted plates.
Mm-hmm. hand-painted plates.
Mm-hmm.
So we're kind of looking at things like that, but it was very successful again,
mm-hmm.
and the Christmas tree lighting,
mm-hmm.
Sandy Smith had a chorus made up of, I believe, elementary school students,
mm-hmm.
and they were tremendous.
Yes, they were.
And it was a little bit chilly, but
it was
real good, and we had... I would say, wouldn't you think, maybe 100, 150 spectators here
I'm
this time?
I'm going to think so. Probably there were,
even though
it was freezing. It was it was really cold, but they showed up.
And the singers, it didn't freeze their voice boxes
yeah.
up. Like I said, they were really on cue.
Yeah.
And then about 4:30, I guess, Mayor Reagan lit the tree up,
mm-hmm.
and the tree looks great
it's
out
beautiful.
There. That's thanks to Beth Gentry. She kind of supervised and worked
mm-hmm.
on getting the tree decorated, and we still would invite people to come over and bring their own personalized ornaments to put on the tree. We still got room for those, and anytime between now and Christmas, we invite anyone in the county to bring those over.
Yeah, and it is filling up. I was just mentioning the tree a few minutes ago, and the ornaments that were being brought in. I said, we need some tall people to come in and put some up a little higher.
Well, I'm going to try to get out there when it gets to where I don't freeze my ears
right.
off, and kind of balance and move some of them around
yeah.
and, you know, kind of balance the tree out a little bit better. But it's looking great outside.
Yeah.
And we're getting the wreaths up around. We're going to try to get the rest of those up today.
They're beautiful.
And those are all the handmade with
mm-hmm.
leaves individually put on those things.
Mm-hmm.
Frances Donaldson is doing that, and I think she's out there right now putting the finishing touches on a few right now, and we're getting ready to get those hung on the windows here just in a few minutes.
Yeah, and, you know, it's a pretty scene, and it's a nice time, actually, to even think about next year's Christmas cards. Taking a picture in front of the courthouse while it's decorated would be beautiful. It'd be a beautiful backdrop.
Yes, I mean, this is a beautiful, beautiful old building.
It sure is, and it's not, we don't have just the leaves and the all around the windows and the doors, but there are containers sitting all around the courthouse that have holly leaves that are, and holly sprigs that are full of little red berries.
We have some of the people here in Solana that are saving their tree trimmings for us now that we know we're doing this, and
uh-huh.
they save the tree trimmings for us,
yeah.
and we come around and gather those up, and like I said, Frances puts those around in those things. Of course, the boys from down at the county mayor's office, they come by and help us, and
mm-hmm.
we also had a crew from over the hill that came and helped us do some things, so
yeah.
we've got a bunch of people working on this.
Definitely, and, you know, we had Sam Hyder with Joey's Flowers and Gifts on last week, and he was talking about repurposing, recycling, and something else. And
Reusing.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was, and that's what we're doing with those holly trimmings and all of the magnolia trimmings, too, is reusing and repurposing those. So that's what makes it beautiful. And it's a shame to throw them away, especially the holly with the beautiful little red berries. It's so colorful. Something else you've got that starts this Friday night.
Yeah, a whole bunch of us are involved.
Or this Saturday night.
This Saturday night involved in this. And before everyone gets in a panic, we do have tickets. Tickets are still available at
okay.
the banks. I know they've sold quite a few, but
uh-huh.
I went by and checked with them this morning, and there are still tickets available for
okay.
both performances.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and if they don't sell at the banks, we will have some tickets at the door.
Okay.
So you can, you know, folks can give me a call anytime during the day, anytime between now and time for the show Saturday at 243-3464, and I'll give you a ticket update and tell you what you need to do. So, you know, don't panic. We've got tickets, so
mm-hmm.
and we will be ready to perform Saturday night.
All right, good deal. I know we did have a sellout last year, both nights. So,
yes.
and some may be concerned about that, but we do have tickets left. So that's a good invitation right there. So,
and
we've got plenty of room.
Need to come by and see our local people. put on some new shoes.
That's right.
We've got some good actors.
We sure do. We've got a change in some of our group that's acting this year. We've got some of the old people and got some new too. So
yeah.
there's a difference.
I know we have. Just throw a couple of names out there. I know Monica Hayes is now playing the part of Miss Mara, the prosecuting attorney, and we have Daniel Stewart who's playing the judge this year. I think he said he'd always wanted to be a judge,
so we're now giving
him a chance.
Gets opportunity
for he can be a judge, and he's doing a pretty good job at it. So everyone can really look forward to that, and we've got, of course, our chorus, and I think maybe Miss Sandy Smith's group is going to be performing both weekends.
Okay.
I know we had some other folks, and I think it conflicted with maybe their family Christmas dinner or something.
Yeah.
So we're looking forward to that, and that group, they'll be singing about, I believe we said, 10 or 11 songs, Christmas songs during the program. So we have a complete, Christmas concert.
We sure do.
Built in the drama. In
addition with the play. Well, that sounds like a good evening out, and, you know, you're welcome to come out and enjoy one of our local restaurants before the play, stop by and have a good meal, and then come in and watch the play, and by the time it's over, you'll probably want a little dessert or something.
Well, now, we're going to have the dessert down here.
Well, okay.
We have a reception again this year down here in the old offices. And, of course, after the program is over, everyone comes down and mix and mingle with the stars. And they might even sign an autograph for you. I don't think any of them's got any pictures or anything to give away. But they would probably sign an autograph for you. But it's a fun evening. Everyone participates and... of course, we hope that our audience, which are actually part of the play, that they'll participate.
That's true.
And if they'll boo and cheer and carry on with it.
Right.
It's just a fun time for all of us doing this.
And you know, it's not an adult play. It's not just for the older people. It's geared to the children because the question going on here is what for this play? Is there a Santa Claus? And it focuses on the kids and. And there's a lot. I saw last year there were some of the younger kids that were 3 and 4 were just mesmerized and staring at Santa Claus like, it is Santa Claus, and I believe in Santa Claus, absolutely.
You know, this thing is kind of Miracle on 34th Street. It's not the, you know, true to the whole movie type thing, but it is that court, some of the courtroom scenes and some of the other scenes in and around the courtroom. And it's, like I said, it takes place there in the courtroom, and it does have the atmosphere of an actual trial, and actually, it's fun to be placed on trial.
Yeah, it is, yeah, when you know you're going to be okay, especially, but it's also just the fun of being in the old courthouse, and the idea that we're getting to use the courthouse and have a purpose for it, and it's so... warm and comfortable up there, just the whole atmosphere is.
And you know, it's a special feeling to walk up there behind that bench and sit down, you know, knowing that you're sitting in the same position that a Nobel Peace Prize winner sat in years ago, and that is Cordell Hull. I mean, you know, that's a tremendous feeling, knowing that we had that here, that, you know, we're talking about Nobel Peace Prize winner, and that's a great feeling. And real quickly, there's another thing that's going on here in the county. I don't know whether people have been made aware of it, if they've been watching, but there's a process going on right now where there's going to be a new scenic byway.
Okay.
That it's in the process. I think some of the grants are in place. Some of the studies are being done now, and this scenic byway is going to run from the Cumberland River here in Salina, Clay County, all the way to Cumberland Gap, over in the edge of Virginia, Kentucky, and Tennessee. And it's about a 200-mile journey, and it goes, starting on this end, starts at Salina, goes over to Livingston, and then it goes up to Byrdstown. And then from Byrdstown, you go down old Highway 127 through Pall Mall, the home of Cordell Hull. Alvin C. York. And, of course, Cordell Hull country over in that area, too, but that historic area through the the town of Jamestown, mm-hmm. and then from Jamestown it goes out through Rugby, back onto Highway 52, and then all the way over through Harrogate, Tennessee, all the way up to the Cumberland Gap National Park.
Well, that's
and,
a beautiful drive.
Right now, folks are in the process of trying to put together a package of things to do along
okay.
that route. You know, we're not thinking about people coming in, driving through there one day and looking at stuff and going
right.
on. But, you know, give them the reason to spend a day or two in Salina, Clay
right.
County,
mm-hmm.
Spend some time in and around Livingston,
mm-hmm.
All of the towns along the way, stopping at Rugby, taking
mm-hmm.
advantage of that, you know, replica of an old English village, all the way up there. There are just a number of things, a number of historical and archaeological things between here and Cumberland Gap. And our car club groups are, we're looking at maybe trying to do a fall foliage tour.
Okay.
From starting at Salina one year
mm-hmm.
and going up to the Cumberland National Park up at Cumberland Gap and having a finale show up there
mm-hmm.
at the end and maybe spending the night there and that type of thing. And then the next year start up there and come down to Salina.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a lot of things. This is a very, very exciting thing for this area that we can, you know, when people now are just going out and driving for pleasure
right.
and they go on the internet and they look up scenic byways.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can get, you know, this scenic byway listed on the internet and get it approved by the federal government,
mm-hmm.
we're going to have between here and Cumberland, taking the part of the trail that Daniel Boone took.
Wow. And we're going to be like another Route 66, aren't
yes.
we?
Yes, yes. We'll have to all get us a red Corvette, like
right.
the one I used to have.
You're right. Oh, you don't have that anymore. I thought you
no,
still had that. Oh,
no,
my goodness.
No,
wow.
No, that was part of my, I guess, my second childhood. I'm in about the fourth one now, I think.
Well, that's okay. We need to have plenty of those. Well, sounds like we've got a lot going on, and that is something that's going to be lifelong. So it's, you know, anybody that, you need to keep your ears to the ground and make sure that you, are involved in that.
Yes,
and
I think
are
we'll
aware
probably
of
have some local meetings in each one of the counties involved in this, and
uh-huh.
we need to get, you know, people out and express the ideas. And, you know, there are things in all of our counties that, a lot of us don't know about.
Right.
That we need
yeah.
to make people aware of that,
uh-huh.
you know, things that we take granted for granted because we see it every day.
That's true.
But that people, you know, for the first time seeing would definitely be interested in taking a look at it.
Yeah.
From some of our caves around here
uh-huh.
To our Seven Sisters Bluffs down
uh-huh.
the river.
Uh-huh.
And I know one of the emphases that they're placing on Clay County and Salina on this tour is the history of the old rafting industry.
Oh,
where
my goodness, yes.
Taking the log rafts down to Nashville where they go down and tie all the logs together and build them a little cabin mm-hmm. on that thing and float
and we've
the
got so many
Nashville.
Pictures of all those,
right.
too.
I guess we have a lot younger people have a lot of trouble comprehending that you would ride a log raft to Nashville
mm-hmm.
and walk back
mm-hmm.
to
mm-hmm.
Salina.
But we were the home of the hardwoods. That's part of the settling here was to work, cut down, and redo those hardwoods.
Yes, I mean there are some pictures here of some
yeah.
of the most tremendous size
oh,
hardwood trees that you have ever. Some of those things I can remember seeing pictures of people standing on one side of one of those logs trying to reach across and touch
oh,
the hand of
goodness.
The guy that helped them cut it on the other side, and they can't even reach each other. It's
wow.
hard to believe.
Yeah.
That virgin forest of timber that was here, and there are actually a few pictures of those things still around.
Mm-hmm. And with the river right here accessible to travel it from one point to another, we had the perfect space, the perfect spot.
And like I said, we got to make everyone everywhere aware of this, and
yeah,
we you know we're
indeed.
Hoping that the courthouse here will be the focal point of the start of this. Of this new scenic byway.
Oh yeah, I hope we are we will at least be the beginning or the ending.
Right.
So we're very
we're
much
both.
Deeply
we're the beginning
involved.
And the end.
We're the beginning
what is
and
the
end.
The Alpha and the Omega.
That's right. That's right. Well, Thomas, thank you for briefing us on everything that's coming up, and I've got just a couple of little announcements to make on some
tickets. Don't forget your tickets. Now
yeah,
we still
don't
got
forget
tickets.
Your
get
tickets.
By the banks
absolutely.
And get your tickets.
Absolutely.
Get
or the Chamber
right.
of Commerce.
Yes, or
yeah.
the Chamber of Commerce.
Uh-huh. Chamber of Commerce and both banks have a few tickets left, so be sure and pick those up before Saturday. Today at the Clay County Senior Citizen Center, they're having free food items and a bread giveaway until the supplies are gone, and that starts at 10 o'clock. and that's sponsored by the Called Out Ministries. The school board meets tonight, and the American Legion Post 18 meets tonight at 6:30 at the Chamber of Commerce, as well as the auxiliary unit will be meeting there. And coming up on the 13th is Teen Night at the Clay County Library, so you teenagers get out there. They're going to be playing Dirty Santa. You just need to bring a wrapped gift between $10 and $20 and get ready for a fun-filled evening.
Can I do one more thing?
Yeah, please, please.
For Miss Petty, go down to the Senior Citizen Center.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That is one announcement. You said after three announcements, you'll be ready to come on and do your interview.
Okay, there we go, Miss Pettigo. Did you get that? We're going to be looking for you real soon. I want to thank all of our guests today for a good show. And for now, this is Susan Bailey with the Clay County Corner, wishing everyone a beautiful and productive day. Tune in for a rebroadcast this evening at 6 o'clock p.m. on Kix Country 101.5 FM. And later, you can look on the Del Hall Horizons webpage. And I'm signing off now from the Clay County Corner.
Thanks for being with us today for the Clay County Corner on Kix Country. We thank all of our interesting guests, and we thank all of our fine sponsors. Our sponsors take pride in and care about our community. So when the need arises, make sure you visit them. Or just give them a call and tell them thanks for sponsoring the Clay County Corner. So until next Thursday morning at 9, we hope you have a great week.